Well, I'd like to continue our study on the six kings who ruled during the lifetime of Daniel. And thus far, we have considered King Darius, the mighty ruler of the Mede and Persian Empire, the one that we just read about in Daniel chapter 5. The folly of King Darius was seen in his own royal decree to be worshipped as a god by all his people. He was convinced by his local governors to decree that all his subjects worship him as a god for 30 days. And such a proposal was suggested to the king by local governors who hated Daniel and wanted him removed from his position. They cleverly crafted an evil plot to entrap and destroy God's faithful servant. Their proposal to the king was anyone who refused to bow down and worship King Darius for 30 days would be sentenced to a terrible death. They would be thrown into a den of hungry lions. King Darius was flattered by this proposal and foolishly signed the decree of the law. When news reached Daniel about the royal decree, Daniel continued to pray to the God of heaven like he always had. This led King Darius to have no other choice but to sentence Daniel to death by throwing him into the den of lions. Miraculously, the Lord saved Daniel from certain destruction by sending an angel of the Lord to the den, who then closed the mouths of the lions. The next king we studied was King Nebuchadnezzar. We noted the two remarkable dreams he had while king. In the first dream, King Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of a magnificent statue which was built of gold, silver, bronze, and iron. Stumped by the dream, the king called in his astrologers, soothsayers, and magicians for their interpretations. The wise men were stumped as well, except for Daniel. With the help of God, Daniel interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The message of the dream was that God is in control of nations, governments, and great rulers. And later in his life, King Nebuchadnezzar had another mysterious dream. It was about a great tree that reached high into the sky. It produced fruit and provided shelter for many creatures of the earth. However, one day this great tree was struck down and only a stump remained. Again, the king was stumped by the dream. He called for his wise men, but they could not tell him the meaning of the dream. Last but not least, the king sent for Daniel. Again, with the help of God, Daniel told the king the meaning of the dream. We learn from the dream that God is in control of individuals. God humbles men and exalts them. God humbled King Nebuchadnezzar and made him an animal. But after 7 years, God then exalted King Nebuchadnezzar and made him king once again. Well, tonight, let us consider another ruler of Daniel's lifetime, King Belshazzar. Who was this king? Well, Belshazzar was a 6th century king of Babylon who reigned on the throne for only 2 years. He had the ominous distinction of being the last king of the Babylonian Empire. King Belshazzar was a relative of King Nebuchadnezzar, and King Nebuchadnezzar was his father. In Daniel chapter 5, we read how King Belshazzar mocked God by throwing a party in his palace with articles taken from the Jewish temple. The story begins that one night Belshazzar was having a great feast for all of his nobles and family. Over 1,000 people attended the royal affair. And history tells us it was a strange time to have a party. And the reason was because King Darius, the ruler of the Medes and Persians, had assembled a massive army right outside the walls of Babylon. And King Belshazzar knew this. And this did not alarm him at all. He felt safe behind Babylon's huge walls of protection. And he felt safe because a river ran through the middle of Babylon, which provided plenty of water for the people. And historians tell us that they had enough provision to last 20 years. So King Belshazzar and his administration, rather than being cautious about the army that had amassed outside his walls, decided to throw a party. King Belshazzar felt safe enough to have a party to worship his false gods, even while enemy soldiers were planning to attack the city. And the king and his guests had been eating the very best foods and drinking the finest wines for a while when the king decided to do something terrible. He ordered his servants, "Bring the gold and silver cups Nebuchadnezzar brought from the house of God in Jerusalem so we can drink from them." Now these special cups were holy to the Lord and were supposed to be used to worship the God of heaven. But Belshazzar was going to use them to worship his idols. The cups were brought and everyone drank from them, praising their idols. They were blaspheming and making sacrilege of the one and true God of heaven by drinking from the cups set aside to worship him. And King Belshazzar knew that it was wrong to use these special cups this way. He didn't care that he was sinning against the Lord. Besides, he didn't think he would be punished for his sin. He thought he was invincible. He thought that the Persians outside his gates wouldn't be able to get into his kingdom, and he didn't think that he could be even reached by the Lord himself. He felt that he could do whatever he wanted to, when he wanted to. He didn't care that he was sinning against God. He thought he could do as he pleased and nothing would happen to him. There would be no consequences of my sin. How many people today think the same way? They think that I will just live the way I want to, sin and sin and sin, and think that there are no consequences to my sin. You know, the marketing of the world, especially on television and on the internet, they paint sin to be very, very attractive and alluring and appealing. But they never tell you about the consequences of living a life of drinking alcohol, living a life of smoking cigarettes, living a life of immorality. They seem to just not include that in their marketing scheme. And the reason is because they want to present these sinful things as being attractive without having the person think of the consequences of their sins. And oftentimes, these sinners are attracted to these things and they are lured away. And the consequences that comes upon them and upon their families, upon their careers, upon their bodies, and eventually upon their souls is absolutely devastating. I know men who have left their families over sin. I know men who have lost their jobs over sin. I know men who, after pleading with them to repent of their sin and to turn to Christ, will continue to stay with their sin, and that sin will drag them to the very depths of hell. Men want their sin, and they think that there are no consequences to their sin. And this is the mentality of King Belshazzar. He thought that he could sin against the Lord and get away with it, and that there would be no consequences. But there were consequences, terrible, terrible consequences from the Lord. And these consequences were evident that very night. Suddenly, as the king and his guests were drinking from the temple cups and praising their false gods, a hand with no arm or body appeared by the wall. Can you imagine the scene? A hand with no arm or body appeared by the wall. Then the hand began to move, writing words on the plaster of the wall. And King Belshazzar was so scared, his face turned pale. The Bible says his knees knocked together and his legs gave out on him. He had never been so scared in his life. He was almost scared to death, literally, by this hand. The hand disappeared, but the writing stayed on the wall where everyone could see it. Immediately, he noticed that the writing on the wall was something that perhaps his astrologers and his soothsayers and the Chaldeans could interpret. So he called in the wise men. And he said, "I want my magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers. I must know what this writing means." Have you ever heard the expression, the writing's on the wall? What does it mean? Where did such an expression come from? Well, it comes from this portion of the Bible in Daniel chapter 5. And the meaning of it is it means the end is near. When we say the writing's on the wall, it means things are almost over. There's not much you can do about it. The end is very close. And King Belshazzar did something terribly wrong that night on purpose. He knew what he was doing. He knew his sin was against the Lord. And he thought he could get away with it too until God gave him that frightening message. So the title of my message this evening is Beware of the Writing on the Wall, Taking Seriously the Things of God. Beware of the writing on the wall, taking seriously the things of God. We must take seriously the things of God. King Belshazzar did not take seriously God's holiness, God's justice, God's righteousness. So when this hand wrote on the wall, the wise men arrived in the palace. You can imagine the haste that the order went out. Get these men in right away. It was like an emergency. And these men, the astrologers and wise men, came in immediately. And the king offered rewards to anyone who could read the writing and tell its meaning. What an enticement. What a reward to receive if they could simply interpret this coded message. The person would receive a royal robe to show he had great power. An expensive gold chain would be put around his neck, and he would be made third highest ruler in the kingdom. Obviously, all the wise men must have wanted these special rewards, but none of them could read the writing or tell its meaning. The writing was a message from God. And it's interesting that if you look at the words in Daniel chapter 5 that the hand wrote on the wall, Mini, Mini, Tikal, Upharsin. That is Aramaic. Dr. Barrett pointed that out to us in our Bible class in Daniel, that was a known language, a language of the Arameans, or the Aramaic language. And Dr. Barrett, to this day, I think, still doesn't know why these men couldn't interpret and understand the message that the hand wrote on the wall. And I think that the reason why they couldn't was because it was a spiritual message. Only those who knew the Lord can understand the meaning of the message, even if it was written in a known language. Isn't that an incredible application for us? That here you can read the Bible in your own language. You have people that can read it and understand the English language and yet not understand the meaning of Scripture. Their eyes are blinded. Their hearts are closed to the truth of the spiritual meaning behind the Scripture. I can remember reading the Bible before I was saved. And it was just stories about great men who did great things for God, history lessons. But I never understood the real meaning, the interpretation, because I wasn't a child of God. Only converted souls, only those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior can interpret the Scripture the way that God has written it. The only answer to me, in my opinion, why these men couldn't is to show how dark the human heart is when it comes to understanding spiritual truth from God. You can't. Natural man can't interpret. Yeah, natural man can't discern the things of God, because they're spiritually discerned by the Spirit of God. And what a lesson for us to learn here. These great astrologers and soothsayers and wise men, they could recognize that it was Aramaic, but they couldn't understand, interpret the message. Well, this frightened King Belshazzar even more. And we have already seen a pattern here with all these kings that we've considered, King Darius and King Nebuchadnezzar, now King Belshazzar. They always went to their astrologers and their soothsayers first, and they couldn't provide the meaning of the dreams. And here, Once again, we see that the wise men of the world could not interpret the message of the hand on the wall. Well, hearing all the noise in the banquet hall, the queen came to see what was happening. And she says, "Don't be worried." She said to the king, "There's a man here in your kingdom who can help you. He has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your ancestor, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was found to have great wisdom and knowledge. This man, Daniel, can tell the meaning of dreams. Call Daniel in. He will be able to tell you what the words on the wall mean." So Daniel was brought before the king. Belshazzar said, "Are you Daniel? I've heard you are very wise and can interpret dreams. No one has been able to tell me what this handwriting on the wall means. If you can read it and explain it to me, I will give you great rewards." But Daniel wasn't interested in the king's rewards. He said to the king, "O king, you know about King Nebuchadnezzar. God gave him great power and might, so all the other nations were afraid of him. He became so proud that God had to teach him a painful lesson. He lost his mind and became like an animal. He had to live outdoors with the animals and eat grass in the fields until he finally admitted that the Most High God is the only one who is really in control of men." "You knew all this, Belshazzar," Daniel continued, "but still you set yourself up against the God of heaven." He saw all the workings of the Lord in his father's life. He saw how the Lord humbled his father. He saw how the Lord exalted his father. He saw how God had completely stripped his father of his power, of his pride, of his wealth, of everything he had. And yet, he saw it all and he knew it all. And yet, it didn't get through to him. He still was hard. He still was a man who blasphemed God, a man who was cold and hard for the things of God. And there are so many in churches today that have the privilege of seeing God at work in the lives of their parents, seeing the Bible read in the home and going to a good church where Christ is preached and God's people are fed. And yet, with all of this privilege, with all of this exposure, they're still hardened to the things of the world. They still are cold to God. They don't understand the importance of seeing God work in other people's lives and learning from those people. Don't you think Belshazzar would have learned the lesson from his father, King Nebuchadnezzar? Not to be proud, not to be arrogant, not to be self-centered, not to be on a course of self-destruction, and yet he didn't learn the lesson. That goes to show you how hard the heart of man is. That goes to show you how dark it is and how bent on sin it is. Even when it's right in front of him, when he sees the life of Nebuchadnezzar played out right in front of him and how he was humbled, it didn't get through to him. And Daniel's bringing that up to him. And he's saying, "You should have not done this, Belshazzar. You should have known better. But still, you set yourself up against the God of heaven. You drank from his temple cups while praising your idols that couldn't even hear or understand you. Yet you ignored the living God who holds your very life in his hands. The very breath that he used to blaspheme God, the very lips that he used to drink the cup. It was the God of heaven who was preserving his life and giving him that breath. He was using that breath and using those lips to blaspheme God." How many people today, they use their lives, they use the breath God has given to them to blaspheme him, to waste their lives in sin? Just like Belshazzar. And you ignored the living God. You ignored the lessons from your father. You became hard and cold and evil and wicked in your heart. And that's why God sent the hand to write the message on the wall. The handwriting is on the wall for you, Belshazzar. The end is near. Even though Belshazzar didn't believe in the one true God, he knew of his power. He should have known better than to go against the Lord. Daniel was reminding him of the seriousness of his sin before God. He should have thought about that before he had those holy cups brought into his palace. He should have thought about the consequences of his sin. Take seriously the holiness and the righteousness of the Lord. And God, if you cross the Lord, if you sin against the Lord, eventually your sin will be found out. And you're going to have to answer for your sin. Daniel's saying to Belshazzar that the judgment day has come for you. Your life is going to be required. It's going to be required very soon. Because God is holy, because God is righteous, He must punish sin. He must punish it. If God didn't punish sin, that would be a reflection on God, on His holiness, on His righteousness. God can't just turn His eyes from sin. He just can't pretend it didn't happen. It does happen, and it has to be dealt with. And even with a king like King Belshazzar, his sin had to be judged by a holy God because it was such an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. You can be sure God will not let you get away with sin. Don't be fooled into thinking that God won't care if you sin just a little, or that since He saved you from your sins, you can live any way you want to. There's so many temptations out there for young people, for all of us, but especially for young people. On TV, on the internet. You know the pull, you know the temptation to surf different places on the internet. You know somehow you think maybe in the darkness of your heart you can get away with going somewhere that you shouldn't go or looking at something that you shouldn't look at. Who are you fooling? You're only fooling yourself. You're not fooling the Lord. And that's the kind of spirit, that's the kind of mentality King Belshazzar had. He thought he could do great abominations in the sight of the Lord. He could do heinous sin. He could do unholy things. And that God would just let him do it. God would just not require him to give an account of his sin. He does require us to give an account. And if you have that spirit in you, even tonight, like Belshazzar, plead the blood over your sin. Confess your sins to Christ. Give Christ all of that spirit of Belshazzar to Him and say, Lord, let me not be deceived. Let me not be so frivolous in how I treat your holy things. But help me, Lord, to live a life that respects you and reverences you and honors you in my life, with my body, with my mind, with my soul. What a contrast we see in Belshazzar and Daniel. Daniel was rebuking the king to his face and said, you should have known better. You've seen this great God at work and you didn't learn from it. And now judgment has come upon you. So there's this building up here between Daniel and Belshazzar. Daniel is an older man now. He's a wiser man. He's seen so much in his life already. And now he is going and rebuking this king and telling this king the terrible message of this handwriting on the wall. He tells the king what it means. He says that God has numbered the days of your rule, and now your rule has ended. You have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. You haven't measured up to what God expects you to be. Now your kingdom will be divided and given to your enemies, the Medes and Persians. Belshazzar was going to lose his kingdom, but even more serious than that, he was going to lose his own soul that night because of his sin. It's a terrible thing to lose a kingdom as a king. It's a terrible thing to lose a family, to lose riches, to lose everything, but to lose your soul. How can you put a price tag on that? To lose your soul. And yet this man, King Belshazzar, lost his soul. Why? Because he didn't take seriously the things of God. He was the party king. He was the party king. He's what most people are today in the world. They want to party. They want to do the things of the flesh and go the way of the flesh. And they think that life is just a big party, as much pleasure I can get out of it as I can. And yet little do they know they're on the path of self-destruction. You know, and after the news that came to Belshazzar about the meeting, I don't think he was doing much partying after that. I don't think he had his wine and his concubines and his dancers having a good time anymore. It had all come to an end. The party is over. And I say that respectfully. I don't say that in a joking manner. His party had come to an end. And when you know young people, you know people that are in that partying lifestyle. You know that lifestyle of carousing the flesh and doing the things that appeal to the flesh. Don't get into that lifestyle. It's just going to bring you down. It's going to ruin you. It's going to bring self-destruction to your soul. And you think that you can handle it. Well, King Belshazzar thought he could handle it too. But he couldn't. And it was too late for him to do anything. Take seriously the things of the Lord. Take seriously your soul. Take seriously eternity. Belshazzar just lived for the here and now. He wanted to get as much pleasure out of sin as he could. But he didn't want to pay the consequences. That's what it is with sinners. They want to take the pleasure. They want to take the joy that they get out of their sin. But you can have the consequences. I don't want to have the consequences. I don't want to become sick. I don't want to become insane. I don't want to become isolated. But they have to, because that's part of sin. See, if you're going to sin, that's what you have to do. You have to receive the whole package. That's the way sin is. Sin will say, I'm your friend. And then the sin turns on you. He becomes your taskmaster. And you become a slave to that sin. You become in bondage to that sin. Before you know it, there's nothing you can do to get out of that sin. There's only one person that can save you from that sin, from that lifestyle, and that's Jesus Christ. Only Christ came to destroy the power and penalty of sin in the lives of sinners. And Belshazzar just threw it all to the side and did that which was abominable in the eyes of the Lord. And even though it was a terrible message for King Belshazzar to hear, the incredible things, the king gave Daniel the promised reward still. King might have been so infuriated by the message of Daniel, he said, cut this man's head off. He told me a message I don't like. Take his head off and kill this man. He didn't do that. He said, this is the message. And reward this man with the purple robe and the gold chain and make him the third in charge of the kingdom. And that's what happened to Daniel. That very night, enemy soldiers got into Babylon, where King Belshazzar thought he was safe. And historians tell us the enemy soldiers dug another channel for the river to run through so it didn't go into the city. Then they were able to go right under the walls of the city where the river had been. They captured the city and killed King Belshazzar. Because Belshazzar had purposely sinned against God, he lost his kingdom, his life, his family, his soul. And a new king took over Babylon, Darius the Mede, one of King Belshazzar's enemies. God was faithful to Daniel, however, and he continued to serve under the new king, Darius. As Belshazzar found out, it is a serious thing to sin against God, thinking he will get away with it. And I really want us to be able to take away from this message, take seriously your soul. Take seriously the things of the Lord. Don't be so foolish and so presumptuous to think like King Belshazzar that you can party and sin and do whatever you want without any consequences from the Lord. You may go through years without seeing or feeling consequences from the Lord, but eventually, living that lifestyle, your sin will find you out. And these young people that once partied, look at their lives now, 20, 30 years later. Their lives are wrecked. Their homes are destroyed. Their health is ruined. And they're as hard as steel when it comes to the things of the Lord. Is it worth it? Is sin worth it? It isn't. It will destroy you, just like it destroyed King Belshazzar. So, in closing, King Belshazzar was the last king of Babylon. He was the party king. But his end was ruin and destruction. The writing was on the wall for King Belshazzar, and so we must beware as well. Where do you stand with Christ? Are you serious about God? Do you mock God like Belshazzar? Do you take lightly the things of the Lord? Do you trample upon the holiness of the Lord like Belshazzar did? May the Lord help all of us to take seriously the things of God. May the Lord help us to keep holy and righteous lives before the Lord.